Hey guys, welcome back to Sleepy Anarchy. This is your host, Ekta, and I'm really excited about our guest today because I have been really loving this brand, and it's just been something I've been going back to over and over again. Especially, there's one product that I'm going to mention later on, and we'll dive into it, but I can't wait to introduce you guys to the founders of Standard Self Care, Hannah and Austin. Welcome to the show, Hannah and Austin. I'm so excited to host you and to learn all about Standard. It's such a great brand.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to chat all things Standard with you today.
Yeah, no, I really love your brand and it's really cool. Welcome to Austin. I'm excited to learn about you guys and what really led you to create the brand. I would love if one of you could get us started and give us a little walk down memory lane about what led to the creation of the brand.
Definitely, 100%. I'll start off and Hannah can kind of fill in the blanks here. But originally, we come from a background of CPG products and mostly like better for you goods. We were both at LMU at the time when we met. We were both working on a multitude of things, but our main projects, mine specifically, was working at Suja Juice. So if you've ever gone into a Whole Foods and looked at their raw juice section, one of the members in the first 2 years before they sold the Coca-Cola that did all their field marketing. At the time, Hannah was also working on a similar startup that was like the brainchild of some of the founding team of Suja. And that's how we ended up meeting through Like Connects. Yeah, during that time, I was studying entrepreneurship at LMU, really wanted to focus on kind of healthy, better for you products too. I ended up going into kind of transferring out of field marketing because I saw that you could only be in so many places at one time. Yeah. And I realized, hey, if I can make this more of a digital marketing effort, then I can reach thousands, if not millions of people within a single day versus just a couple people at those events. I actually started my digital marketing career with a company that was an agency that worked mostly for clothing brands, but it really honed in my skills in the digital marketing and e-commerce realm. And then I decided to mix the two. At the time, I believe Hannah was still working on Namba. And we really just wanted to find products that were healthy. We both live a pretty health conscious lifestyle. And we mostly just wanted to blend all of our knowledge and previous skills, previous entrepreneurial experience into one. Hannah has a knack for design, branding, and a good knack for marketing as well. Well, yeah. I'm technical side of things. But at the time, another friend who's currently our third co-founder, we're just scoping out products, seeing what we wanted to do. And we knew we wanted to be in the health and wellness space, but we didn't know exactly what we needed to do at the time. And what we found was through our experiences, we had seen a lot of products that kind of say that they're healthy, but really through a marketing perspective, not through like the most truthful lens, we'll call it, or maybe the lens.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do was come up with a list of things that we know we didn't want in our products, regardless of what those products were. Right. So we came up with a list of no's, which is pretty much the basis and foundation and competitive advantage of using Standard Self-Care on a daily, in your daily routines. And from there, we just kind of looked at what people were like missing, right? We wanted to solve a problem. And what we really realized at the time was most people look from a health perspective of like what they put into their bodies, but not what they put on their bodies, which is honestly virtually the same thing. If you put something on your skin, right, it ends up inside of you. So we decided to go with skin because it was your body's largest organ and the most affected when it came to confidence levels of your personal self, how you felt, how you looked at yourself, how you looked at yourself in the morning, and how you viewed yourself as a total person. It's also what the first thing that everybody else sees about you too. So we knew that we wanted to make something that made people feel very confident in both their daily lives, routines, and health.
That's really cool. And I wanted to actually ask Hannah, because you had mentioned Hannah, Austin, at one point. Hannah, you have such an impressive background. I would love to hear your opinion about what you think of all this, the clean beauty movement thing that's been going on. Like, how did that play a role for you guys? And, you know, this clean consciousness that we're now experiencing in the industry, like when you were really conceptualizing, like how you wanted to present this to the consumer industry now, because I feel like it's so saturated.
No, is, and we're of the notion that there's enough room for everyone. And we weren't unaware when we were launching Standard that there's a lot of other clean products. There's a lot of clean beauty products and there was others on the market. But like Austin was talking about earlier, all of us came from health and wellness obsessed background, all three of us individually. And we kind of just personally had a passion for better for you products. So with everything that we used in our personal life, but then also how we lived our daily routines was very much like, what can we keep doing to be at the highest standards? Whether it's like with the food we're eating, with the products we're using, with our routines, with the places we were going and the people we're surrounding ourselves with. And so through that and through our experience also with other products in the Better For You product space, we just really knew when we wanted to get into beauty that if we were going to launch products that were in skincare, that they had to be a higher standard of anything that we had seen on the market and anything we had seen developed. And there's a lot of clean products that have have such clean ingredients that you can recognize them. There's like 5 and under ingredients in them, and they're organic and all these things. But what I personally knew as just being a user of clean products is that if a product is super clean, but then doesn't meet your needs, at the end of the day, you're going to go back to your tried and true products. Yeah. And might be the opposite of clean. And that's true. I think everyone can understand when it comes to deodorant, when it comes to clean toothpaste, when it comes to clean hair care or skincare. If you're not getting the results that you're looking for, you're going to go back to the tried and true. Because at the end of the day, especially as women, and you're concerned about aging or you're concerned about your toxin load, you're trying these products. But then if it doesn't work, you're not going to stick with them. So we wanted to kind of use the two. So have ingredients you could really be so confident about, but then also results that you're looking for, so that these became your new tried and true, but you didn't feel like you were compromising at all.
That's, I love that. And I think that that's something that I know I struggle with a lot, you know, as a consumer. I feel like I'm always looking for something that just works, you know, and I think a lot of us can say that, right? Whenever it comes to skincare, it's like a whole different experience as a consumer than beauty products. Like, it's not just, I have like 15 lipsticks in my drawer, that's fine. No, it's like, I want one set of skincare. You know, that's not what I want for my skincare, is what I'm trying to say. But then at the same time, everything you said, where it's like, you don't want to compromise, you don't want to take shortcuts. And I know you have a very unique journey with the autoimmunity. If you could tell us a little bit about that, because it's so important, I think, to understand like how this fits in. And especially with the amount of brands we have right now, I almost feel like it's inducing a state of like sensitivity in consumers. Like, I really genuinely worry about that from a medical standpoint, but I'd love to hear your journey with autoimmunity and how that played a role when you were crafting the idea.
Well, anything that I say, I'm not myself a doctor, but I think there's a lot that can be learned from experience and just from taking a general poll of, especially for women, all your friends around you. I think for my own friend group, there's probably 75% of my friend group struggles with something autoimmune related, or hormones, or PCOS, or endometriosis. I'm not sure if you have something similar, yeah. But I think women right now are having a lot of these symptoms, whether it be a diagnosed autoimmune condition or one that they haven't got diagnosed yet, but they're having a lot of these symptoms like chronic fatigue or issues with their hormones and whatnot. And one of the things that everyone should realize if they haven't yet is what you put on your skin is just as important as what you consume. And us women put so many products on our skin without even noticing it because it's fun. Like, beauty is really fun. Getting to try new products, getting to test out, having your 20-step skincare routine, and then having a body care routine. And it's like a hobby for people, so you might not realize. And for myself, I had the same thing. I'm kind of like a test dummy when it comes to products. And I love being the first to try them and discover them in store or online and try a million different products. But if you're not being careful, your endocrine system, which is affected by what you put on your skin, and your skin is the largest organ, so anything you're putting on your skin is getting right absorbed into your bloodstream. So you have to be conscious of it. And we're never about clean shaming with standard and with the brand in general, but our consumers and people in general to be very educated and feel like they can have some confidence in their knowledge about skincare. So standard will all be an education first platform as well. And just making you aware that although it might be fun to have a 10-step routine, maybe it's better to be conscious of the products that you're putting on your skin and have it be a routine that has a lot of vision behind each step. And you know exactly the ingredients that are going in and on your skin. And then also being able to pick the products that you have that are maybe not as clean, I would say, but keeping them to a minimum versus having and using any product at any time.
Right. I 100% agree with you. Yeah. And also, I have Hashimoto's, so I know what you mean. Literally every woman, like, I'm in my late 30s and I don't know a single like friend of mine that isn't experiencing exactly what you said. Like, all of us are somehow impacted by it. And that's the crazy part. And I think a lot of what you were speaking on just now, it really rings a bell for me, because we have so many sensitivities that we aren't even aware that we have, but a lot of products are using excessive amounts of stuff. You know what I mean? That's another thing I notice is like, and I don't know if you both agree, Austin, I don't know if you've seen this as well, is that there's like products out here with like 30% glycerin. Although glycerin is considered like a safe product or a safe ingredient, it's still not okay to have excessive amounts. So when I look at the skincare industry, it's kind of wild that we're just randomly creating this stuff. Just, I don't know, no education.
Yeah. I even recently saw, and I'm not going to name names because like I said, we're not shaming, but like one of the most popular, I would say, up and coming skincare skincare lines right now. They did a whole campaign on just glycerin and the benefits of it. And it's like for people uneducated, which is mostly young girls who watch their content, they would never know, given all that education, that it's something that they should be conscious of at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I agree. And also I attribute a lot of it, like, you know, people love that snail mucin movement that just happened with the whole snail mucin thing. And they think glycerin's like, no, it's one ingredient, guys. It's one thing in really high concentrations. That's going to irritate your skin. I feel like things like that is where, like, people say we want education in skincare and beauty. Of course we do. But who's educating people is my question. You know what I mean? Because there's a balance. We need to address the balance. So that's where I'm like, I can appreciate what you've created here with Standard, because it's a balanced set of formulas. It's not bombarding you with 50 products you have to pick from. And Austin, I would love to hear your thoughts, actually, because I know that male skincare is on the rise, like the category at large. And I feel like every time I've spoken to men about skincare and like self-care routines, the thing that keeps coming up is simplicity. So what are your thoughts around that? And really, like, what Standard is putting out in your lineup?
100%. I think it's funny. And we'll start with what I used to do for skincare versus what Hannah used to do for skincare, right? Is Hannah has more of like this 10-step routine, right? She knows every single ingredient in there. Whereas like most males consist of just like a bar of soap, right? Something that's at its finest. One product, easy enough. In general, there have been times where I used to use that, but then I kind of fell in love with like some of the more, I would say, exfoliating cleansers of today, right? Like the ones that are a little on your skin. I think guys are more okay with that type of stuff, we'll say. Yeah. However, the ingredients still were not okay to be putting on your skin, right? We also knew that we wanted Standard to be simple when it came to a routine perspective for mostly our male audience as well, because if you put 12 products in there, most men aren't going to use it, to be very keen, right? You're not going to go to a 12-step routine overnight, right? So we wanted to create the 3-step routine that made it very clean and simple and routine, both morning and night, to make it easier for everybody, right? Not just men, women alike too. But I do think that helped men get a tone to having a skincare routine to start off, right? It's not 20 products that you have to research and then you have to go out and find every single ingredient in. We guarantee that it's a list of no's and our product ingredient list. So we really wanted to keep the education very straightforward. Black and white is our kind of internal hoorah, right? But I think it's very important to keep just the product line simple as well, right? Majority of men don't utilize makeup as much as women, right? So you're not going to have a mixture of things on their faces 24/7. A lot of men just use bare skin. So it seems easier to digest, I think, from a male's perspective when having a 3-step versus a 10-step, right? Or 20 different products. And we really even describe that through our marketing. If you look, we put like our hero ingredients on the front of our packaging versus the full ingredients list on the back. All of it's clean. We're not hiding anything from anybody, but we do want to make it simple and upfront to say, hey, look, this is a cleansing balm. It's for cleansing and makeup removing. And here's our 3 higher ingredients in general, right? Whereas you can go get a good idea of what you're getting out of the product instead of being kind of like tricked into the back, right? Of these crazy ingredient names and trying to figure everything out for your own self, right? So we really want to keep it simple, keep it educational, and keep it black and white, both when it came to utilizing the products and learning more about the product education.
I love that you said that. And I feel like men want to also know, like, okay, here's the problem. Is this going to fix it? Like, am I going to fix whatever I'm targeting? And I feel like it's just a more like linear way of thinking. That's my personal opinion. When I think of women, we think very differently, obviously, right? And with men, I've always noticed a linear thought process. So I like that you guys have that on your packaging. It's like right there. And I think for anybody that's new to skincare, especially, like, you know, we have so many like younger people coming out and saying, hey, I want something that I can use. But it's like, you need to know, what is this product going to do? What does it include in it? Why do I care that it has this in it? So I think that transparency really goes a long way, genuinely. Like, as a consumer, I can definitely say I appreciate that you guys did that, because I hate going through huge inky lists. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to do that. But Hannah, I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to add on to kind of what you were saying earlier. We didn't really fully talk about it, but when you're talking about how it's just hard to know who's really educating in the space on what really clean. And for us, we've looked at that as like our personal challenge as a brand, is how can we get education across as simple as possible? And for everyone, nobody has time to be doing all this research on a million products. So that's also why we wanted to keep the routine as simple as possible. And we're obviously going to add more products as well, but we want to keep them really simple and have really good products for anything that we launch, and know that they're a higher standard. But also, we don't want you to take it from us either. We have our products on Think Dirty, which I think is a really great resource. And they have a scale of rating products on clean level. And you can do a deep dive on the ingredients and know, is it actually clean or which ingredients may not be as clean. And that way you can get an education for yourself on it and a really great understanding of any products that you're using, not even just ours. It's really simple. You just scan products that you have. You can scan your cleaning products. You can scan your beauty products. It's really great. And so our products are on there and we have loved being a part of that as well. If you're using a current product, you can get ideas for a swap that you could do that's a cleaner version, which is really cool. So, and then another layer that we do of transparency as well, where we publish our lab results for our heavy metals, molds, and carcinogens live on our site. So all of our products have that and you can check it on our site whenever.
I love that you do that. That's so cool because I never get to see the actual data. Like, I feel like companies are always claiming things, and that's literally since the beginning of my podcast, I kid you guys not, like one of my biggest questions was exactly that. Like, well, where can I find your results? Where can I actually see it?
Yeah.
Even like 4 years ago when I started SA, it wasn't a thing for brands to even do that. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, that came from a lot of my autoimmune journey and working with a lot of different holistic practitioners. One of them that I was working with was really made me realize how all the products that we use, especially like I said, as women, we happen to use way more products than men. And even like for supplements, Austin probably uses 2 supplements a month versus I probably use like a dozen at some points. I think a lot of women are like that because you see something, you're like, oh, I should try this and try that. And this person had good results with this, or I need this ingredient. But what you should really be doing is finding out if the products that you're using, the brands that create them, have any heavy metals or mold testing done on the products. And I think a lot of people don't realize adds up, especially as women having hormone issues, autoimmune tendencies, and all these things. You could be having the most clean diet. Your environment might be great and clean and have no molds in your house. You could be using non-toxic everything, but then you're just ingesting different heavy metals and molds with 12 different products every month. So I think that's launching standard. I was like, oh, if we're doing that for supplements, how come we're not doing that for our skincare too? And a lot of these natural skincare products, especially because their shelf life is a lot shorter, you have no idea if they have heavy metals or mold testing done because nobody does it or nobody publishes it. So
it is crazy that you mentioned like heavy metals, because I know when I was growing up, you'd hear about like lead poisoning a lot more than you do now. And you'd hear about like these crazy stories of just like lead exposure or anything like that. But like now I feel like we've kind of hidden it. I don't know. It's just not putting it to like light enough. And I love that you mentioned that, because when it comes to formulation, it's just a big gray area. Like, I'm not going to lie, it's a big gray box that nobody understands how things are getting formulated. Who does the testing? Is there a requirement to do testing? Like all of that stuff, right? And so you putting that out there as a brand, to me as a consumer, that's like immediate, like, okay, you're safe. I can trust you. So I feel like you guys are really ahead of your time in that way, because I would love to see more brands put their data up, just straight up. Like, here it is. We did the work. Here's the homework. And I feel like it does fall on the brand side to do that homework, you know, of like, hey, is this safe or not? Have we tested things like what you were mentioning, heavy metals and mold and all that? And also, like, just for everyone listening, like from the microbiology research I've personally done, I know that even on petri dishes, mold is one of our biggest things. Like, it grows so fast. Like, you guys will be shocked if you saw it in a lab environment, how quickly mold grows. So like testing for that continuously, like, I feel like that should be a requirement for brands to constantly like keep up.
Yeah. And I mean, we do third party ISO accredited testing too. So it's definitely, you can verify and see the lab that conducted it as well for all of our products. But I agree. I think it should be something that's tested. That's why we've taken it upon ourselves to make that information accessible and be that higher standard for ourselves. But then also knowing at the same time, there's so many clean products and there's a million different clean scales. You know, there's the Credo list and there's all these different lists that people, you know, deem as like, okay, this is trustworthy or that. But like, you know, heavy metals isn't something that's needed to be in Credo. We wanted to define what clean means to us so that consumers aren't like, oh, this is a clean brand, it means nothing. It's like, no, we're clean, but this is what clean means to us. It's not just clean washing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you've really done the background work and the homework. I love that. That's really, really cool. And I think transparency also, like, I just hate that everything's turning into a buzzword. You know, guys, like, I really hate that. Like, before I felt like words like toxicology and like, you know, toxins or whatever, when we talk about sustainability, we talk about a lot of like recycled plastic. These kind of things weren't just buzzwords. They were actual things that people were educating on. Now I feel like everything becomes a marketing gimmick. So if you do something that's like microbiome related, there you go. Here's a marketing thing, you know, but it's like, how many brands brands do you really know for everyone listening out there that you can say, like, no, I've seen the real stuff. Like, I know what they're doing and why they're doing it. I understand their science. I feel like those are questions we should be asking as consumers, right? So that's where this is so important, that transparency component.
Yeah, that's what one of my holistic practitioners told me to do. And I know it sounds extreme, but if you're serious about it, or if you're having any kind of flares with autoimmune or health things that you can't get diagnosed, what he had told me to do was to call every single supplement company of products that I'm taking and have them send me their updated lab tests. And most people don't run. So if they won't answer you on it, you kind of already know the answer for yourself. So I just think you need to be your own advocate when it comes to the products that you use, whether it's ingesting or putting in. And that's part of a standard. We want to help you be that advocate for yourself.
I love that. I really love it. And I really love your line, guys. It's really good. And for everyone listening, like, genuinely, like, I've seen great results with my skin. Especially love the eye cream. It's become one of my favorite eye creams. I use it a lot. I even posted about it on my personal account in Dermal Unity because I remember it was so refreshing compared to everything else I've been using. And it's very light, but it's effective and it doesn't pill. That's the cool part. Most eye creams I use pill up a lot. So you guys really have a home run with that eye cream, by the way. It's amazing.
I love to hear that, only because we spent probably triple the amount of time developing the eye cream than the other products, because I myself am so picky with eye creams, and we had a really great formula, really good ingredients the first time around, we were happy with it and we were about to press play on it. And then I thought about it and I thought about the fact that I don't know if you're the same way, Edgar, but I have like a graveyard of eye creams.
Yeah, I do too.
I didn't think they were doing much. So then I would get lazy about using them, or I just only use a moisturizer for a time, or I just try a new eye cream and I still didn't use the old ones. And so I was thinking with our eye cream when we were about to launch, I was like, if we're not 100,000,000% excited about this and think this is better than anything I've ever tried before, we can't launch it. And so we went back to the board on it, completely changed the formula. And I thought about what was actually missing in eye cream. And I thought about my very favorite product when it came to eye cream was actually, I loved the La Mer eye concentrate. It was one of my favorite eye creams.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It is not any scale clean. And it's also at a price point that's not very accessible.
Yeah, it's so really expensive.
I went into formulation with our amazing chemist and I had that product that I wanted to use as benchmark and a couple other ones, because I also wanted you to have a feeling after using the eye cream, because to me, I think if I didn't feel or see a difference with an eye cream, that's what made me not go back to using it. So I wanted it to be something that you really remembered that, oh, I have something on my eyes, or I feel awake. I feel like I can see more hydration plumpness in that area. And so we used a few different benchmark products, but I really wanted it to have that texture of the La Mer eye cream, but be clean. And so we worked really hard on that. And I think that's usually why when people try it and they're like, oh my gosh,
it's phenomenal. It's literally like, I can see the work that you put in. I love that you're an eye cream critic, because I feel like that's the hardest product. And I hate when people say, like, forget about the eye creams. I'm like, no, don't forget about them. You know, we just need a really good one. So it's a really great product and it actually works. I have dark circles. That's my biggest area of concern, is dark circles, especially, like, people don't talk about this, but for me, I'm Indian. So like, for me, my discoloration, it might be because of the melanin distribution, but on top of my eyes, like my eyelids, I have really dark areas there. So I have to, like, make sure the eye cream I'm using actually targets, like, dark circles. You know, it does something for them, whether it's just brightening them up or whatever. But this one has been really great. And especially if I'm working really late, like with puffiness, obviously, that's never really a big concern of mine. But if I do have it, I've noticed there is a difference there as well. So I've just loved it. I think it's a great product. And I rarely see that in this category in eye creams. Awesome. So you did a phenomenal job. It's really
cool. I'm part Hawaiian Filipino. And so my under eye area also is something I'm always thinking about. But there are other eye creams that I tried in the past, and if I didn't see a difference, I just, you know, didn't want to use it again. So I always love hearing when people on their own try it and one of their favorites of the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for everyone listening, you guys have to check out the brand. Like, I really, really encourage you. Again, Standard Self-Care. You can search it and I will tag everything in the concept art for this episode. But thank you guys for tuning in. And thank you so much, Hannah and Austin. It's been such a pleasure hosting you. And I really, really love your brand. I think you guys are really nailing it, getting good products out there, you know, and I love seeing that. So thank you for your work, for putting
it
out there.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
We also, we made a code for you. It's SA40 for 40% off anything on our site.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like, guys, please use that code SA40 at the website. And I will actually link the website in the show notes as well.
for this. So if you're listening right now, scroll down to the show notes. You'll see it right there and also on our socials. But thank you so much. That's very kind of you. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having us, Ekta.
Thank you.